The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, and welcome to This Day in History class, a show that shines a light on the ups and downs of everyday history. I'm Gabe Lousier, and in this episode, we're looking at an early disaster in New Orleans history that left a lasting impression on both the city's infrastructure and its character. The day was March 21st, 1788. A fire sparked in the home of a Spanish military treasurer consumed roughly 80% of the city of New Orleans. In just 5 short hours, the blaze destroyed 856 out of approximately 1,100 standing structures. In the wake of the disaster, the city's oldest neighborhood, known today as the French Quarter, was rebuilt with a decidedly more Spanish look. New Orleans was founded in 1718 by the French governor of Louisiana, a man named Jean-Baptiste Lemoyne, and was named for the French head of state at the time, Philippe d'Orléans. As the city took shape under French rule, it gradually organized into a rectangular community built on the highest patch of dry land in the otherwise swampy area. This original site, which was still only 10 to 15 feet above sea level, later became what we call the French Quarter. So not only was that famous neighborhood there from the beginning, at one point, it constituted the entire city. But France wasn't the only European power to ever hold sway in New Orleans. Following the Revolutionary War, France actually gave the Louisiana Territory to Spain, mostly as a way to keep England from taking control of it. At any rate, Spain took possession of New Orleans in 1762 and held on to it for just under 50 years. Eventually, in 1801, a different treaty placed Louisiana back under French rule, until 2 years later when Napoleon sold the whole thing to the United States as part of the Louisiana Purchase. Nearly all of the original French colonial buildings in New Orleans were destroyed during Spain's rule in the late 1700s. But the change wasn't made due to national pride. The buildings weren't knocked down on purpose or anything like that. Instead, 2 massive fires laid waste to the French-built city. The first took place on March 21, 1788. The fire began in the Charles Street home of Don Vicente Jose Nunez, the treasurer and paymaster of the Spanish army. The exact cause is a matter of debate, but the prevailing theory is that an unattended candle caught the drapes on fire in Nunez's home, and because a strong dry wind was blowing in from the south, the flames quickly spread to the adjoining homes. It didn't help that most of the city's buildings were made of wood, complete with cross-timbered walls and double-pitched roofs. Even then, the damage might not have been so bad, except that the fire happened to occur on Good Friday. The city had switched from French to Spanish rule 20 years earlier, but most of its residents were still devout Catholics. In fact, the candle that's thought to have started the fire was likely a votive, lit by Núñez as a way to mark the religious holiday. However, it turned out to be a very bad Friday that year, as the city's priests would not allow the church bells to be rung as fire alarms on such a sacred day. Without the bells to alert the rest of the city to the growing blaze, it was next to impossible to organize help amidst the chaos. As a result, the fire burned unchecked, and within 5 hours, it had leveled practically the entire city, including hundreds of homes and businesses, the town hospital, the jail, and the military armory. The St. Louis Cathedral, the church that wouldn't allow the bells to be rung, was also destroyed in the fire. Many people died in the blaze, including a number of prisoners who were left to burn, with no attempt at rescue. Countless others were left homeless, prompting Governor Esteban Miro to set up tents and hand out food to the survivors. The governor later recounted that grave day, writing, quote, "If the imagination could describe what our senses enable us to feel from sight and touch, reason itself would recoil in horror, and it is no easy matter to say whether the sight of an entire city in flames was more horrible to behold than the suffering and pitiable condition in which everyone was involved. The tears, the heartbreaking sobs, and the pallid faces of these wretched people mirrored the dire fatality that had overcome a city, now in ruins, transformed within the space of 5 hours into an arid and fearful desert." But even in the midst of that suffering, there were early signs of the resiliency and generosity that would later come to characterize the city. The governor described one man who sold his stores of rice and tobacco to the army at market price so that they could be distributed to the survivors. He also remarked on how lucky citizens who were spared from the flames quickly opened their homes to those less fortunate. As he put it, quote, "Many have taken temporary lodgings with families that were so fortunate as to escape unscathed, and to such an extent have the compassionate feelings of the latter shone forth that on the following day there was not a single human being without shelter." Tragically, though, this dark chapter in the city's history would be repeated just a few years later. After 6 years of rebuilding, a second great fire broke out in 1794. Thankfully, that one didn't occur on Good Friday, and was therefore able to be extinguished before it did too much damage. There were still some 212 buildings that burned that day, to say nothing of all the people killed or left homeless. But compared to the fire of 88, New Orleans fared much better the second time around. After the second fire, the Spanish government started handing out loans for citizens to rebuild their houses. The only catch was that in order to get the money, you had to agree to build according to the government's newly developed guidelines. These included all kinds of rules aimed at making the city more fireproof, including the switch to brick and plaster townhomes instead of the wooden cottages that had characterized the city under French rule. And as you may have guessed, this is when the French Quarter started to look decidedly more Spanish, even if the streets themselves were still named for French royals and nobles. This transformation proved to be a real turning point in New Orleans history. As author Lyle Saxon explained in his book Fabulous New Orleans, quote, "The city that fell before the flames was a congested French community of wooden houses, badly arranged and irregular. A stately Spanish city rose in its stead. Large fan-shaped windows looked down into courtyards which held banana trees and oleanders, and balconies railed with delicate wrought iron overhung the streets. From the fires of 1788 and 1794 to Hurricane Katrina and beyond, New Orleans is a city that's no stranger to tragedy. But it's also a place of continuous renewal, a city where people respond to the worst disasters imaginable by pulling together, picking up the pieces, and moving forward, ready to face whatever life throws at them next. I'm Gabe Lousier, and hopefully you now know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. If you enjoyed today's show, consider following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TDIHCShow. And if you have any comments or suggestions, you can send them my way at thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks to Chandler Mays for producing the show, and thanks to you for listening. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for another day in history class.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.